is my salvation. I will trust, I will not be afraid. Behold, God is my strength and my song, and He has become my Lord. On days that I'm weak, it's hard to believe, still I know He'll see me through. You give me the power to conquer the hour in everything I do. Lift up my voice and I sing songs of joy to the God who reigns on high. You give me new courage, won't let anything hurt me as I sing to Him my song. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust, I will not be afraid. My strength and my song, and He has become my Lord. So with joy I will shout as I rise in the clouds on the day my Lord returns. I'll sit at His table and drink of salvation and praise His holy name. Dance around heaven with Moses and Aaron and proclaim what God has done. So be gone, all your troubles and all of your devils, 'cause Jesus, He's my song. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust, I will not be afraid. Behold, God is my strength and my song, and He has become my Lord. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust, I will not be afraid.
Truth that will offend them one at all. I am the unknown soldier. Some call me MIA. Some say I can't go home again. Some say I chose to stay. I am the unknown soldier who you refuse to know. A brother and a friend of yours who left so long ago. Some call me POW, the one they left behind. I am the unknown soldier, the one they never tried to find. I'm the one they never tried to find. I'm a farmer from Missouri, the soldier from St. Paul. I was the hero of my family, and still my picture's upon their wall. I'm a poet and a scholar, and the boy who lived next door. I am the unknown soldier, forgotten on a foreign shore, long forgotten on a foreign shore. I was someone's loving daddy. I was someone's pride and joy. I was someone's tender lover, a worried mama's a little boy. And if you should just forget me here, then should I forget you too? Please won't you try to bring me home? For I'm someone who belongs to you. I'm still someone who belongs to you. I am the unknown soldier with no more tears to shed. I'm just a fading memory, a part of the living dead. My country has betrayed me, yet I have forgiven you. And every night I pray to God that somehow He'll forgive you too. Yes, even somehow He'll forgive you too. I am the unknown soldier, the one for whom you cry. That familiar face that you can't face, the one your country told you died. I am the unknown soldier, with dreams you'll rescue me. And I am a man who understands. Only death might ever set me free. Only death might ever set me free. I am the unknown soldier, and I'm black and blue and gray. I said I am the unknown soldier, and I die slowly every day. And I'm tired, and I'm hungry, and I'm lonely, and I'm cold. I am the unknown soldier, the one you bought and sold. I'm the one you bought and sold. So lay down close beside me now, and gently stroke my face, and wrap your arms around me now, before we leave this place. Some called me POW. Some called me MIA. Some say I can't come home again, but I will return someday.
The day I rest my weary bones, I'll go to sleep, but not alone. No more to I've found my home. The grave is bare. He rolled the stone. I look around another way and see much more than here today. I've traveled far to reach the grave. No more to weep, no more a slave. The Lord above, He watches o'er His scattered sheep to reach the door and open up forevermore the day these bones will lie no more. The day these bones will lie.
Recorded live.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to By Yahweh's Design. I'm Pastor Dan, your host for this one-hour live radio broadcast. Tonight is the 25th day of February, year 2015, and we've entitled tonight's program, God's Law or Chaos. Before we get into the main topic for this evening, we do want to dedicate this program to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this program to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, welcome to the program. We got a verse here we're going to read, and then we're going to get into a word study, or I should say a chapter study, in the book of Deuteronomy, starting with chapter 28. But first we're going to go to the 22nd chapter of Matthew. Yeshua said to him, "You shall love Yahweh your Elohim God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and great commandment. A second, likewise, is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The whole law and the prophets depend on these two commandments." Now, the modern-day church world, which we know has everything totally messed up, I call it churchianity, it's more like a business than it is the truth, they'll tell you that this commandment here is telling you that you got to love everybody who's next to you, whether they're white, brown, yellow, black, green, blue, and you're supposed to love them as yourself. Well, that's just not what this is saying, because first of all the books of the New Testament were written to the Israelites, because Yeshua himself says in the book of Matthew, "I came but for the lost sheep of the house," which means of the family of Jacob, who was later named Israel. So that's a specific group of people. So whenever you're reading in the New Testament and the modern day church tries to make it apply to everybody else, it just isn't so. So when Yeshua was talking to him, he was saying that you are to love, first of all, our Heavenly Father. He's supposed to be in the premier place in your heart. You're to love him with all of your heart, your soul, and your mind. That means every ounce of you, every part of you is to love him. And how can you love the Father if you do not love his commandments? Because Yeshua himself said, if you love me, obey my commandments. That was Yahweh standing before the disciples in a flesh body. So that's obviously what he was talking about. If you love me, the Father, Emmanuel, that was his name, he said, obey my commandments. At the same time, we had a lot of Pharisaical type individuals amongst us, just as we do today. And they had so back then. But he was also saying, you need to love your neighbor, meaning your Israelite brother or sister who's standing next to you or in the vicinity of you. You are to love them as yourself. In other words, don't shower yourself with praise and possessions and all kinds of good things and leave your neighbor out. You're to care about them with a brotherly love, an agape love, the same as you have for yourself. And he says that wraps up the whole law and the prophets right there. Everything in the scriptures about loving the Father, because if you love him, you will study his word, learn his law, and live his law. That's why tonight's program, Yahweh's Law or Chaos. In case you haven't noticed, there's a lot of chaos in this world, isn't there? I don't know about you, but it seems to be everywhere around us. So what is the solution? You know, everybody's looking for governments to do it. Some people are going to their pagan churches called Christian churches or the Catholic Church or whatever, thinking they're going to have the answer, or they're going to soothsayers or fortune tellers. I mean, you name it. Our people are trying it, except turning to the Father himself. They seem to leave that one out. I'm not sure why, but they just leave that one out. Now, before we get into Deuteronomy, again, I want to announce we're operating on a new audio system, so we do ask that you bear with us if there's a few glitches from time to time. We're also doing another thing that's somewhat new in the 15 years that we've been on, and that is to block the texting that goes on during the actual broadcast. We're saving that to the 15 minutes before we start speaking and for the half hour to 45 minutes after the show. We will play the music and you can socialize to your heart's content. But while we're broadcasting or conducting an interview, everybody needs to pay attention. We're also going to go to Psalm 54 after Deuteronomy 28. So if you want to mark that, you might want to do that as well. So a lot of good things are happening, a lot of bad things are happening, just as it says in Scripture. The whole world would be in turmoil. The heavens and the earth would be shaken. It's not just talking about earthquakes and tsunamis and everything. It's talking about the geopolitical world that we live in. It's talking about the physical world. In case you haven't noticed, the country's getting hit with yet another winter storm as we speak. It's just unbelievable. The weather, the patterns and all. And you know, a lot of people say, do you think it's HAARP? H-A-A-R-P. High Frequency Active Auroral Research Project. That's what HAARP stands for. I interviewed a individual many years ago who wrote a book, Don't Play That HAARP, and exposed what the government was doing with those high-frequency microwave generators that they have stationed around the world, pointing to the heavens, using millions of watts of electrical power. In fact, they have their own power generation station at those facilities. They use so much power. They can't operate off the grid that the power company operates. They have their own, I believe it's atomic reactors, generating the power required to drive those microwave antennas that are pointing into the atmosphere. So whether they can do it or not, it doesn't matter, because the scripture does not specify who is doing the shaking of the heavens and the earth. It doesn't say it's the Father. It doesn't say it's man. It leaves it open, because personally, my belief is it's going to be a little of both. Man likes to play God. And so he constantly is playing with genetics and our food supply and the heavens and weather. And now he's getting into cloning and all kinds of aberrations of nature because man likes to play God. We're never happy and satisfied with what he's provided us. And so we have the chaos that's all around us. And as we get into Deuteronomy 28, you're going to see the reason for the chaos. It's going to be pretty apparent. Let me just see if Randy has something to say here. You may be listening. Randy, you're on the air. Did you have a comment or a question?
Good evening. Praise Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh.
You know, the world is pretty chaotic, and, you know, it basically comes down to what you're going to be talking, you know, what you're talking about tonight is, you know, you know, it's basically, you know, it's kind of like, you know, it's, we're going to have Yahweh's law or we have chaos, and it's, you know, it's just like we have the godly and the ungodly. I mean, there's no in between. It's one or the other. We cannot serve two masters. And we know that our federal government, for longer than, you know, than we've been alive, has been directly attacking our faith. They don't want the Ten Commandments on the courthouse walls. They don't want prayer and Bible in schools. They want to redefine what our marriage is. I mean, this is a direct attack. I mean, we see homosexuals and lesbians going after Christian business owners. I mean, how many more examples people do they need? I mean, we're living in a chaotic time.
Oh, amen. Amen. Everything's upside down. You know, it says in Scripture that good would be called evil and evil would be called good. And that's a biblical way of saying what you're saying. Everything's 180 degrees out, correct?
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'll go ahead and mute myself out and keep up the great work.
All right, Randy. Yahweh bless. And Randy's up there in that great state of Michigan fighting the battle in the trenches. Anybody that knows him, he's a warrior. Praise Yahweh for warriors such as Randy. He's a brave soul. He takes on evil wherever he comes across it. So if we had 10,000 like him, the New World Order would be put to flight tonight. And here's the thing, folks. Again, you know, everybody seems to be fixated on numbers. They're always kind of, you know, we don't have a big enough army yet. We don't have enough numbers yet. Well, numbers have nothing to do with anything. All right. Did not King David himself get chastised and punished because he conducted a census for the exact same reason? Even though from the time he was a young man and he defeated Goliath and on, he was a blessed man, more blessed than any mortal man had ever been, and yet still, when he became king, he had to have a census. He didn't trust the Father was going to be with him. He had to go and conduct a census on how many people were in the villages and under his kingship, and how many men, therefore, would be in his military. So here again, you know, we don't trust. We never trust the Father. We're always going to trust men who are way, way outside the sphere of being trustworthy rather than trusting our Heavenly Father. So let's see what the book of Deuteronomy. So if you'll bear with me, I want to call that up here in just a second. We're going to start from the beginning, and this is the World English Bible that I'm going to use for tonight. And it shall happen, if you shall listen diligently to Yahweh, your Elohim God's voice, to observe to do all his commandments, which I command you today, that Yahweh, your Elohim God, will set before you, and he will set you high above all the nations or the races of the earth. Nations, races. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you listen to Yahweh, your Elohim, God's voice. You shall be blessed in the city, and you shall be blessed in the field. You shall be blessed in the fruit of your body, the fruit of your ground, meaning your crops and vegetables, of course, the fruit of your animals, the increase of your livestock, and the young of your flock. Your basket and your kneading trough shall be blessed. That's your food supply. You shall be blessed when you come in, and you shall be blessed when you go out. So in all your doings, comings and goings. Verse 7. Yahweh will cause your enemies or adversaries who rise up against you to be struck before you. They will come out against you in one way and will flee before you seven ways. In other words, they're going to come together as if they're going to whip your rear end, and they're going to be all bowed up, and they're going to be one big gang, and they're going to come after you. But after you're done with them and Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, is done with them, they're running in all kinds of different directions. They're scattered. No more unity, you see. Verse 8, Yahweh will command the blessing on you in your barns and in all that you put your hand to. So not just your houses, your businesses, your food supply, but virtually everything you put your hand to, whatever you put your mind to creating or doing. He will bless you in the land which Yahweh, your Elohim God, gives you. Yahweh will establish you for a holy people to himself. Now, holy is a word that means consecrated. So you will become a consecrated people to himself. You're consecrated to Yahweh. You belong to him. As he has sworn to you, if you shall keep the commandments of Yahweh your God and walk in all his ways. So there's a lot of blessings in that, those few verses, aren't there? All right? That's a lot. When you see all this chaos going on around us, I would think it would make you say to yourself, well, what am I doing wrong? Because this is pretty clear. If I'm doing it right, everything I put my hand to is blessed. Well, take a look around, people. We're far from blessed, especially you folks here in the United States. We've gone from the top of the mountain to the bottom of the valley, if you're paying attention. Verse 10, all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by Yahweh's name, and they will be afraid of you. That's not true anymore. The non-Israelites or the non-white races are swarming into white nations. Why? Because the white man has lost his nerve. The white man no longer has a backbone. He no longer stands for anything. Virtually everything the Antichrist throws at us, we just take it and just put it on our backs and keep right on trucking. We don't ever consider that we should turn and fight. We never consider that we should link arms together in a united front against our numerous enemies. We always want somebody else to do it. You see, they've brainwashed our people to the point where we're afraid to fight. Even when it's completely justified, we're still afraid to fight. I remember talking to some fellows one day, and I said, you know, I hate to say this, but I believe the white race has reached the point that if the New World Order goons came into your house armed and took your daughter and your son and your wife out into the front yard and raped and murdered them right in front of you, you still wouldn't do a damn thing about it. That's how bad the brainwashing has become. Our Heavenly Father gave us life. He gave us freedom and liberty. Now, those things come with a responsibility, and that is to be just. That's why he gave us laws, and he put the Holy Spirit within us to testify to the truths. He burned his laws into our hearts. But as long as we're within his will and his law, we have the right to have righteous indignation. Where is it? Where are the warriors who literally conquered the known world? Our men have carried weapons and conquered from one end of this globe to the other for thousands and thousands of years. Where are those warriors now? The good news is they're below the radar screen, so you don't see them. I've met them. I've been blessed to have traveled extensively. And I've met the warriors who are just sitting there and they're waiting. As scripture says, they're waiting for the restrainer to be taken away. Their righteous indignation is burning within them. They can't wait till that horn is sounded, and they can pick up that sharpened sword and go to the street and do what Jeremiah the prophet said our people would be used for. And that is to punish the peoples who are disobeying Yahweh's law. Verse 11, Yahweh will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your livestock, and in the fruit of your ground in the land which Yahweh swore to your fathers to give you. Yahweh will open to you his good treasure in the heavens to give the rain of your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand. You will lend to many nations, and you will not borrow. Does that sound like many white nations today, lending to many other countries or nations, but not borrowing? Why are we borrowing? We are the most productive entrepreneurial people on the planet. Why are we borrowing anything? Because we're in disobedience. 13. Yahweh will make you the head and not the tail. You will be above only, and you will not be beneath. If you listen to the commandments of Yahweh your God, which I command you today, to observe and to do, and shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you today to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Well, what have we done? As it says in verse 14, what have we done today in our white nations? We're serving other gods. We serve money. We serve entertainment. We serve sports. We serve drugs. We serve liquor. We serve sex. We serve any other form of pleasure you can possibly imagine. We serve the Jews as if they're gods, simply because they control the banks and, in a large part, control most of the governments. And since the Jews love playing God and allowing you to think that they're going to look out for your best interest, they will pass out other people's money easily as long as you keep voting them into office, even though Yahweh said that that's a sin. It is a sin to use other people's money in such a way. Let me check the board in case we had a caller, and no, we don't. Nowhere at no time do you have a right to take other people's money and give it to somebody and call that charity or right. It is not. Just do a Google search on what Davy Crockett said when he was in Congress, and when he came back to his home state and started talking to a farmer about giving money to some widow from the war, and what the farmer told him. Basically, it's not your money to give away. The people's money, taxes, are the people's money. It doesn't belong to those damnable politicians. Verse 15, but it shall come to pass, if you will not listen to Yahweh your Elohim God's voice, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all of these curses will come on you and overtake you. You will be cursed in the city. You will be cursed in the field. Your basket and your kneading trough will be cursed. Your fruit of your body, the fruit of your ground, the increase of your livestock, and the young of your flock will be cursed. You will be cursed when you come in, and you will be cursed when you go out. Yahweh will send on you cursing, confusion, and rebuke in all that you put your hand to, until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly, because of the evil of your doings by which you have forsaken me. In a nutshell, people, in a nutshell, there is the dilemma. Verse 21, Yahweh will make the pestilence cling to you until he has consumed you from off the land where you go in to possess it. Yahweh will strike you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, with fiery heat or fever, with the sword, with blight, and with mildew. They will pursue you until you perish. The sky that is over your head will be brass. The earth that is under you will be iron. Let me stop here for a minute. You know, I know a lot of farmers because I grew up in a farm country. And I was talking to them about all these chemicals, and they put herbicides to kill the grass. They don't weed between the rows of corn and stuff like they did when I was a boy. Instead, they spray chemicals now. That's so much easier. They don't even plow the fields anymore. They just go in and spray chemicals on everything till everything is dead. And then they go in and spray fertilizer and seeds and hope that they get a good crop. They don't even plow. Something as basic as plowing the earth, which puts oxygen into the soil and it takes the worms and it mixes everything up. They don't even do that now because it's so much quicker and so much cheaper, because after all, everything's about making money now, isn't it? So if I can save time, that's more money in my pocket. It doesn't matter that it's harmful to the soil, harmful to the food, harmful to your body, harmful to the environment. No, that doesn't matter. I make more money. Verse 24, Yahweh will make the rain of your land powder and dust. It will come down on you from the sky until you are destroyed. Yahweh will cause you to be struck before your enemies. You will go out one way against them and will flee seven ways before them. You see, everything is just turned around if you disobey the Father. You will be tossed back and forth among all the kingdoms of the earth. Your dead body will be food to all the birds of the sky and to the animals of the earth, and there will be no one to frighten them away. In other words, your body just lies there and rots. People won't even take the time to give you what we used to call a Christian burial. Your body was supposed to be buried, not become food for the animals. Yahweh will strike you with the boils of Egypt, with the tumors, with the scurvy, and with the itch, of which you cannot be healed. Yahweh will strike you with madness, with blindness, and with astonishment of heart. Could say even a heart attack, huh? You will grope at midday as the blind gropes in darkness, and you shall not prosper in your ways. You will only be oppressed and robbed always, and there will be no one to save you. You will betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. You will build a house, but you will not dwell in it. You will plant a vineyard and not have use of its fruit. Your ox will be slain before your eyes, and you will not eat any of it. Your donkey will be violently taken away from before your face, and will not be restored to you. Your sheep will be given to your enemies, and you will have no one to save you. You know, it reminds me here, these are terms, of course, that were applicable in the days that these books were written. But this today would be basically saying, you'll build a house, but the bank will own it. And even if you ever do live long enough to pay the mortgage off, once that happens, the state owns it because you're paying property tax. Therefore, you never own anything, people. And somebody says to me one time, he said, no, I've got the deed. No, you have a certificate of title, so to speak. You don't have the actual deed. That remains with the state because you are just a squatter paying your property tax. Because let me tell you something. If something happens to you and you're unable to pay that tax, what happens? They'll take your property away from you, so you don't own it. Your sons and your daughters will be given to another people. Or you might even say your sons and your daughters will be put into military units and sent around the world to die so that Jews and other vagabonds can make money from their blood, sweat, and tears. It's the same thing. Your sons and daughters might end up in the Jewish sex slave trade brothels that are around the world that they take great pride in owning, and making the snuff films that they charge their clients $15,000 a pop to see, where your son or your daughter is not only used in the pornographic film, but at the end they are murdered and it's all captured on tape. Wonderful things that are happening to our people, and yet the news media, we have all this modern news media, and yet they don't tell you about that, do they? They don't tell you about the six major corporations that own most of the media, all of them Zionist, communist, pig, dog, Jews. Yeah, it's funny. They don't mention that. We have all this ability to look in and find out information, whether it's by the internet or other means, and yet hardly anybody talks about these things. And yet they're causing grave harm to the people of the world. They don't talk about the fact the Bolsheviks that murdered the Russian people in 1917 to form the Soviet Union, the Bolsheviks were Jews. 90-some percent of them were Jewish. The other minor portion were traitors, Russian whites who were traitors to their own people. And we have that number. There's always that minute number of our own race that'll do anything for money, even turn traitor to their own people. And that happened in Russia as well. But the vast majority were Bolshevik Jews. And they murdered, slaughtered tens of millions of innocent men, women, and children, predominantly Christian. They detest us. And yet, where's all those preachers? Where's those pastors who are supposed to be watching over their flocks and warn them of the wolves that are trying to consume them? Where are you at, preachers? Your eyes will look and fail with longing for them all day long. It's talking about your sons and daughters. Because they're in a foreign land fighting enemies who really aren't enemies, but because of bad intelligence. It's actually not bad intelligence. It's on purpose. It's not by accident. The intelligence agencies and whatnot will give the administration whatever they want just as long as they get you into war. That's the purpose. So the Jews can make money. There will be no power in your hand. A nation which you don't know will eat the fruit of your ground and all of your work. Yeah, it's called Zionists. You will only be oppressed and crushed always, so that the sights that you see with your eyes will drive you mad. Talk about driving you mad. Talk about your average white people today in the lands. I've seen YouTube after YouTube of people in England and France and Holland and Canada and the United States where we're being swarmed by these aliens invading our lands. And people are going crazy because they're going, why? Why can't it be stopped? It can't be stopped because you've given control of your nations to foreigners. That's why. It's pretty simple. Again, we violate Leviticus and Deuteronomy that says that a stranger shall never hold political power within your lands. You people forgot the most basic rule that the Father gave us from the days of Adam on. Race matters, kind after kind. Race mixing is an abomination to you and to the Father. Allowing an alien to have political power within your own lands is an abomination. Allowing aliens and females to preach to you from pulpits is an abomination. You wonder why you sit there and you're going mad and your children are being stolen from in front of you. The fruit of your labor is being stolen from in front of you. What do you think would happen? Yahweh will strike you in the knees and in the legs with a sore boil of which you cannot be healed from the sole of your foot to the crown of your head. Go look in the hospitals and look in the health food stores and all the different areas where people are trying to find some remedy for their ailments. Yahweh will bring you and your king, whom you will set over yourselves, to a nation that you have not known, you nor your fathers. There you will serve other gods of wood and stone, false gods. You will become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all the peoples where Yahweh will lead you away. And everybody in the world is going, what the hell happened to the white people? They're scratching their heads. What happened to these people? How can they allow somebody to brainwash them that way? It's unbelievable. How come they are so silly they don't see that it's okay to be pro-black, pro-brown, pro-yellow, pro-pink, pro-green? But if you say anything that's positive about your own race, you're a racist. And you haven't figured it out that that's just all brainwashing? You can go on down and read this for yourselves, the latter part of Deuteronomy 28, instead of me reading it here tonight. It's funny down here, I just noticed at verse 68, Yahweh will bring you into Egypt again with ships, by the way of which I told you that you would never see it again. There you will sell yourselves to your enemies for male and female slaves, and nobody will buy you. Our people are slaves to this system. The enemy has come in and enslaved our people. And without a price, without payment. People say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, because the monetary system they're using to buy your favor and to buy your votes and to buy your silence on their criminal activity is computer digits. They bought you for no price is a biblical way of saying they gave stuff to buy your businesses and to buy your homes and steal your property and to get your silence, to pay you off for your silence. They used computer digits. They didn't even give you anything of actual intrinsic value. Just entries in a computer. And you fall for it. You fall for it. That's why they're laughing all the way to the synagogue. These people are completely insane. We've brainwashed them to the point their brains don't even function anymore. They can't even notice and discern the simplest of things. For instance, race matters. They've done such a good job, you're not even proud of your own race anymore. That's pretty pathetic. You're not proud of the accomplishments of your people, and you allow them to make movies and television programs denigrating who you are and who your ancestors were. And sometimes you call it good and funny, and you spend all kinds of money, and you give all kinds of accolades to the actresses and actors, the predominant number of whom are Jewish, as they denigrate everything about you. I remember as a young man when All in the Family first came on television. Not everybody had a television back then. But I remember when it first came on and everybody was laughing and howling at how funny it was. After I came to know this message, I went back and looked at reruns, and there it started. Archie Bunker being played the fool because he represented middle class white America, even though he's not of us. But that's what he represented, and white America watched it and laughed as our mores and our norms were denigrated and made fun of by the Jew. And so it continues to this day, only far, far more in your face than ever before. The race mixing as it is pushed. You know, everything on television, I mean everything on television, is pushing the white woman, black man scenario. And always the black man is portrayed in some moral, strong, virile type role and comes to the rescue of the poor white damsel, where the white guy either looks like a buffoon or a fairy or a nerd or some kind of a wimp. It's played over and over and over, whether it's a cop show, a movie, even the Weather Channel, for crying out loud, can't even get away from this constant theme of placing white women in some position next to either blacks or Jews. And you think that's by accident? You know, I remember when the first commercials and the first advertising way back in the 1980s, the early 1980s, and I remember taking a Penny's catalog and a Sears Roebuck catalog to work and flipping it open and showing people the advertisement that was in it. And this particular ad was for lawn care equipment, like lawnmowers, and it had in the front all these lawnmowers, and there was this white man and his wife there looking at them. But in the background of the ad, in much smaller print and in much smaller size of scale, because it was like it was further away, there was another couple looking at stuff, only this couple was a black man and a white woman. And I remember my coworkers all saying, "Dan, you're paranoid." I said, "But this is the start, guys. This is how it starts." I remember when the first blacks started coming on television. There were no minorities on television when I was a young man. There were none. And then all of a sudden they started showing up. And now you can't watch anything without them in it. We've got a call here. I take it that's Rob from Chicago. Is that you, Rob?
Yeah. Hi, Pastor Dan. Yahweh bless. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Yahweh bless.
Yeah, just hanging out here in the Windy City, listening to your call tonight. I got just a couple things I'd like to mention here real quick.
Sure.
Going through this is like the first time I'm reading through the Bible in a year. Scriptures for America sent out a nice thing, what verse to read every day or verses to read. And it's the first time I've ever read all of Numbers all in order like I did. But anyways, a lot of good stuff in here. If anybody's doing that, reading through the year through the Bible in a year, it's a lot simpler when you take three verses a day versus the whole thing on all at once.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So what was your verses for today?
Let's see. The verses for today would be, it is the 25th of November. It is Numbers 33 through 34. And I picked up a few interesting things in Numbers here. And it's Numbers 25, I want to mention here real fast, where Phinehas drove the spear through, it's right here in front of me.
Yeah, he was a prince of Israel with his little concubine.
Yeah. Phinehas drove the spear through, through Cosby and Zimri, because they were going to go into the tent, and Zimri was what appears to be a white Israelite man who was going to have some sort of relations in the tent with a Midianite woman named Zimri. And I guess from the time he may have grabbed her hand to go into that tent and the time Phinehas picked up the spear to go in there, apparently at least 24,000 Israelites died from a plague. And it's interesting because after reading this book, The Christian Civil Government, it talks about the civil magistrates and the spiritual magistrates. And what he did is he administered the kingdom when nobody else did. And he had the authority because he was the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron. Now, is that Aaron was Moses' brother, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So he was the grandson of Aaron, and Aaron was a priest. So Phinehas had the authority to do that.
Right. And also, a little bit more to that story, because I've read it many, many times. What were the rest of the Israelites doing while this prince of Israel was going to go in and have some fun in his tent with this other woman of another race? What was the rest? Do you remember that from the story, what the rest of the Israelites were doing?
Yes, they were standing there weeping and crying.
That's right. They were weeping and crying over the destitute state of their people, much as we're doing tonight. We are wailing and weeping and bemoaning the deplorable moral condition of the white race on this planet. And this prince, who's supposed to be held to a higher standard and supposed to represent Yahweh's law to his people, decides he's going to violate one of the fundamental laws of our race and our king, Yahweh. And that is, race mixing is verboten. And he decides he's just going to go in there and do it anyway. So not only is he flaunting Yahweh and his law, he's flaunting it in front of his people who are, have gathered to seek Yahweh's mercy for their deplorable state. So this guy has absolutely no scruples whatsoever. And Phinehas was beside himself with righteous indignation, and he decided that this is enough. And you can just imagine the anger as a priest, as a Levite. And he picked up that javelin and he walked into that tent and he stuck that javelin right down through the two of them as they were in the middle of their sexual endeavors. He skewered them both with a single thrust of that spear. Now, having just read that, what did Yahweh do to Phinehas for taking the life of these two despicable people? Did he curse them?
No, he did not.
What did he do?
Going back in here, I have it right here. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, has turned my anger away from the Israelites, for he was a zealous as I am for my honor among them, so that in my zeal I did not put an end to them. So he essentially rewarded them and put an end to the plague.
Right. Now, you said that they died from a plague. Now, what the scripture actually says is that the rest of Israel rose up and executed 24,000 other Israelites committing that same crime, which removed the plague from their land. That's what it says. So, the other Israelites were so moved by Phinehas and the fact that he had the wherewithal and the intestinal fortitude to implement Yahweh's law and punish even a prince of Israel for his crime, they rose up and in their righteous indignation put 24,000 other Israelites to the sword for committing that same crime. And guess what? Race mixing left them. And if race mixing leaves your land, your nation, many of your other problems go away. So the plagues were lifted from them. So it's a beautiful story because, you know, the modern day church world never talks about Phinehas. I mean, I went to the Methodist church my entire childhood, and I don't remember his name even being mentioned, let alone the story of what they did to the race mixing couple in the tent and 24,000 other Israelites later on. So, here again, we've got a sanitized form of Christianity being taught in these whitewashed sepulchers called churches today. And we suffer because the shepherds, these preachers who are supposed to be watching out for the sheep, are instead setting the congregations up for more suffering because they won't dare preach the truth. Is that how you see it, Rob?
All right, exactly. I'm with you on that one. And I have another verse I wanted to bring up here along those same lines, because it talked about King Saul, how he was given a mission to annihilate the Amalekites completely and totally and utterly. He was to slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And he didn't. He saved King Agag, brought him back and took all the best of the sheep, and the oxen and so on and so forth, because I guess his troops demanded that he do it, and he might have been afraid of his troops or his people, so he appeased them for the time being rather than following God's law to the letter. And that is what I'm getting into with all this stuff, is that we have a duty, all of us, to God, and we have a duty to follow his commandments to the letter.
Right. Well, you know, some people think it's a suggestion. I beg to differ. I say it's a commandment. It's a commandment to obey him, not a suggestion or would you please. To me, it's a conditional, just as 2 Chronicles 7:14 makes very, very clear. If you want Yahweh's blessing, if you want him to assist in healing your land, then you must obey. Isn't that what it means?
Yes, and God gives commandments. Man gives orders, if you want to look at it that way. Because the higher up you go, like say in the military, the generals and the admirals give commands.
Right.
Whereas down on the lower levels, they give orders. So God is the highest in the
authority.
Universe.
He's
the tippy top, so he gives commands. And I wanted to, like I said, these people did not follow God's orders. They were not administering the kingdom correctly. And what I'm getting at into here is to save our country, and you've probably said this many times on the call, is first we have to, it's Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear, and then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin and heal their land. That's the first part of it. And then we should, Ephesians 6:11, put on the armor of God, and Proverbs 28, and then stand our ground. And it's the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. And what I've been, the information I've been getting out to other people is to teach people these three things and to stand their ground. Ultimately, that's where it leads to. And finally, to administer the kingdom of God, first in your own house and then on a national level.
Right. There's that old axiom of law that says evil prevails when good men do nothing. Evil does not have jurisdiction over us. We give it to them. All right? Evil only prevails when we, the righteous, sit on our keisters and do nothing.
Pastor Dan, did you read that email I sent out about swear no oath in the past week? I'm sure you get a lot, so if you didn't read it, that's fine. But I sent out an email about that. Do you remember seeing it all? Or
I remember seeing it, but I don't remember if I read it or not. So why don't you encapsulate it right now for us?
Okay, it goes back to Matthew 5:33, where Jesus says, swear no oath except for to your father. Let me open it. I can open the book. I got it right here almost in front of me. Yes, it says right here, and I'm going to read from the Holy Bible. This is the New International Version. And it says, again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep your oaths you have made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. And somebody had sent that to me, and it came from the 1215.org website. And I'll put that out once this chat room's open. But it's great because it ties into Jesus and everything. If you go back into it, I can resend it to you. But it lays everything out about jurisdiction and giving your allegiance and obedience to man rather than to God. And we should have our duty is to God. It's not to man.
Right.
It's a phenomenal. It's a major eye-opener in a email. And it's what gets people into trouble is signing all these documents under the penalty of perjury. And when we do that, we're claiming under oath that we're under Caesar's system. We're under man's system rather than God's system. We got to go back, and he tells you how to do it. Go back and clean that mess up and get us out of Babylon.
Right. Come ye out of Babylon so that you do not partake of her plagues, which are about ready to come upon this earth, by the way, folks. So every way that you can come out of Babylon, you should be doing it. So
right. I will resend you that email, swear no oath, and if anybody out there is listening, if they know Pastor Dan's email, just ask him for it, and I'm sure he'll probably hopefully be happy to send it on.
Certainly.
It's great. I have a friend who's an atheist who's not going to be around much longer in my group, but he read it and was completely blown away. And I'm going to give this his last opportunity. You either bend a knee to God or you're gone.
Yeah.
If this doesn't wake anybody up, nothing will. Go ahead.
Right. Well, there's another verse as you were talking that came to my mind, and that is that we should be doers of the word and not hearers only. In other words, it's great to have all this knowledge about right and wrong, what's evil and what is not, but just knowing it doesn't change anything. It's when you put the word of our Heavenly Father into action that you get results. So just knowing it, people, isn't good enough. It says, be ye doers of the word, which means put that word to effect in your life. If you're not doing that, then it's a waste of time. Why are you even reading the Bible? Why are you even studying all this? Because if you're not going to put it to use in your life, changing your eating habits, changing your character, changing what you consider a high priority in your life, all those things, seeking out evil wherever it is and trying to confront it or destroy it. If you're not doing those things, then why bother? What good is all this? That's like studying your owner's manual on your car, on all the intricacies with these cars and all they got on them today. You study the manual, but you don't put it into practice. You still go out and try to start it like it had a carburetor on the engine. You still try to push buttons and do different things to it, which are going to cause things to break. So you've got this information, but you're not putting it into practice. So, you know, it's like, why would you do that?
It's like there's people that can talk the talk, but can they walk the walk?
Exactly. That's it. It's one thing to know it and to talk about it. It's another thing to put it into practice. And Yahweh's not going to bless somebody just because they know something. He's going to bless somebody when they put forth an action. And I'm going to just give an example of myself only because it's me. So I've got firsthand knowledge. It's not hearsay. I promised him many years ago when I learned this message that if he gave me the opportunity, I would preach it to the whole world. And I set about trying to establish my own shortwave radio station. Well, I never could seem to get the money it would take and the expertise it would take to do that. And I tried for 9 years. I kept looking for different ways and I kept saying, well, why, Father, aren't you opening up a door? Long story short is I was invited on to a internet radio program of another preacher, and that turned into the very first By Yahweh's Design on a Friday night. I was given my own slot on this channel at 8 o'clock Eastern time on Friday nights, and By Yahweh's Design came into being, and I jumped at it. You see what I'm saying? So I realized after 9 years of waiting, that was the door he opened. And by going through that door, this became a program that's been on the air for 15 years, and tremendous amounts of information have been shared and exchanged by the hundreds and hundreds of guests. And people like Eli James and Dan from Georgia came on, and now they're off on their own programs and everything else. So tremendous blessings. So I'm only giving this as an example of what it means. And it doesn't mean you got to run out tonight and do something. Like I said, I waited almost 9 years before I saw the answer to that prayer. The point of it is, at some point, he's going to open a door. You have to be committed enough and have discernment enough to realize that door is open and go through it. And then comes the blessings. As you do that, then comes the blessings. We're almost out of time. Rob, did you have anything before we go?
Right, and along those lines, that happened to me last year when I received my baptism. But before that, I had completely turned my life over to God, and it was about 9 months later I was baptized. But in that time, I received two major blessings, and it was amazing that this 44-year curse was completely lifted off me, and it's amazing. It will happen, and it will happen in everybody's. Life situation is different, so it will happen according to their situation. Also, I stood up many times against these evil ones, and I spoke the truth, and I've been retaliated against. I've had my life almost destroyed. I've almost been murdered on a couple of occasions, but I was never afraid to speak the truth because I knew if I didn't that my Father in heaven would take it out on me. In fact, I was more afraid. In fact, I was totally afraid of God rather than man. So, you know, we should not be afraid of who can kill us here. We should be afraid of who can put us in the lake of fire for eternity.
Amen. That's right. He can not only take our life, but he can take our spiritual essence, which is what we're, that's the real us. The body is going to go away one day anyway. There is nothing we can do about that. But that essence that makes us who we are, our spiritual self, that the Father can also take away. So, you know, that's what we should remember. All right, Rob. Well, thanks for calling in. Yahweh bless and keep up the great work.
Yahweh bless.
All right. Very good. All right, ladies and gentlemen. And again, we had a really nice attendance tonight. So I do thank you for joining us. Let me open up the chat window while we wrap up the program. Let me real quick here. I see we've got a few trolls who have decided to honor us with their repugnant natures. Okay, very good. So, let's close in prayer and continue on with our evening. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to share with one another and to come together as your children. We know that this word, this message, this identity message is going around the world. We see evidence of that every day. It's having a profound effect upon our people because it's the truth. And we are so thankful for that, Father. We're thankful and honored that we could be a part of that. We are the remnant, the elect of the latter days, and that's an honorable position. We study to show ourselves approved, that we can be there for our brethren, to help them along, to educate them, and to promote the kingdom, which is what we give back to you, Father. Our reverence of you, our love of you, our obedience, and the work that we do to bring about the kingdom, so that you can take your throne and this world could be returned to the prosperous, beautiful place that was intended to be from the beginning. We thank you, Father, for the men that are making that movie that is showing that the major scientists of the world, many of whom are agnostics or non-theists, and how they are showing that the evidence is abundant, that proves that this earth is a very, very specific point in this thing we call universe. Very special and specific. It is not an aberration. It is not here by evolution. It is not an accident by any stretch of the imagination. And we praise Yahweh for that. We pray that movie will come out soon as it shatters this myth that we're a meaningless blob floating around in this huge vacuum, and we mean nothing. Our lives mean nothing. This planet Earth means nothing. That's a lie. That is Satan and his little kids lying to us yet again. We pray a curse upon all of those who are traitors to both you and your people. We pray a curse against the Edomites, who are the bane of all that is good in this world. And we pray a curse against the preachers in these whitewashed sepulchers who don't have enough guts to preach the truth because it won't fill their collection plates. Because after all, it's the money that counts, isn't it? Again, Father, thank you for this opportunity tonight. We pray a blessing upon your children wherever they may be found. We pray this message would reach the ears of even more and more of our people who are looking for the truth in this sea of lies and deception that we find ourselves. We pray for your coming soon, Father Yahweh, and we ask that you forgive us our sins and always watch over us and protect us from our multitude of enemies. We ask these things in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Oh, the Federal Reserve isn't federal at all. It isn't even close to being constitutional. It's fraudulent, leash of this country up against the wall. Oh, the Federal Reserve isn't federal at all. Would you like to know the reasons why your taxes are so high? Would you like to know what fuels inflation every time you buy? Would you like to know who takes the biggest slice out of your pie? It's the Federal Reserve, and I'm here to tell you why. It's not that complicated to explain in layman terms. When something's really rotten, it is sure to crawl with worms. And that something really rotten happened in this nation's past. It's been feeding on our prosperity until now we're sinking fast. Whoa, the Federal Reserve isn't federal at all. It isn't even close to being constitutional. It's fraudulently shoved this country up against the wall. Oh, the Federal Reserve isn't federal at all. How would you like to print up money on your very own private press and loan it out to all your friends at staggering high interest? Bet it wouldn't take too long until you own the whole neighborhood. Well, that's what the Fed's been doing since our Congress said they could. Now, our Congress shirked their duty back in December 1913. That's when the value of our money changed from gold to inky green. And when they shrugged the Constitution off, they damned this nation's fate. It was a blatant violation of Article 1 and Section 8. Whoa, the Federal Reserve isn't federal at all. It isn't even close to being constitutional. It's fraudulently shoved this country up against the wall. Oh, the Federal Reserve isn't federal at all. You got the FBI, the FCC, the Federal Trade Commission Agency, and they all have one thing in common, that is they're federal. But here's one thing, if you haven't guessed. There ain't anything federal about the Federal Express, and the only thing federal about the Reserve is that it's criminal! Now if I was to tell you that we're under martial law, and there ain't no sense in waiting for the final axe to fall, and that the money that we're spending's really military script, would you say that I've gone crazy? Would you think that I've been hit? Whoa, the Federal Reserve isn't federal at all. It isn't even close to being constitutional. It's fraudulent leash of this country up against the wall. Oh, the Federal Reserve isn't federal at all. No, the Federal Reserve isn't federal.
It's just criminal
at all.
Let's just dump it.
Happy. All recording has been completed.
Troubles may arise. hard to find, only to be seen. You and I, we're all the same, under the skin. We all chosen ones, out of history. Looking for pure love, aiming for the truth that lasts forever.
Right every wrong, grant me just this one last chance, for it's gone, 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 gone. How could I be so blind as to doubt your love? How can I go on living without your love? Is laid waste for all the seeds unsown, for all the justice I never faced, I must now atone. Is there a soul that can't be saved? Is there a heart that has no hope?
I won't be afraid. I won't be afraid.